Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Super Freakonomics is a 2009 nonfiction economics book by Stephen D. Levitt and Stephen J. Dubner, written as a sequel to Freakonomics. It examines human behavior through the lens of incentives, data, and unconventional reasoning. Using surprising examples from public health, crime, prostitution, transportation, terrorism, and climate policy. Rather than treating social problems as matters of intuition or moral certainty, the book asks what the evidence actually shows and whether common explanations are misleading. Its purpose is not simply to shock with unusual subject matter, but to demonstrate how economists and empirical researchers can reframe familiar problems by looking for hidden patterns, unintended consequences, and overlooked trade-offs. The result is a book that blends investigative journalism, behavioral economics, and policy commentary. It is aimed at readers who enjoy data-driven arguments and are willing to question standard assumptions about how the world works. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book treats incentives as the main driver of behavior. A central argument in Super Freakonomics is that people respond to incentives far more consistently than they respond to ideals, social expectations, or official rules. The authors repeatedly show that behavior makes sense once the reward structure is understood, even when the behavior looks irrational at first. This framework is used to explain everything from hospital hygiene problems to labor choices and criminal activity. The key point is not that people are selfish in a narrow sense, but that institutions often create incentives that produce predictable outcomes. If a policy rewards the wrong behavior, people adapt to the policy rather than the goal behind it. That makes incentive analysis useful for designing better systems, because it shifts attention from intentions to consequences. The book also suggests that many failed reforms share the same flaw they assume people will behave as policymakers hope, instead of as the incentive structure encourages. Secondly, unintended consequences matter more than good intentions. Super Freakonomics places strong emphasis on the gap between what a policy is supposed to do and what it actually causes. The authors are interested in the unintended side effects that appear when authorities try to improve behavior through regulation or pricing. A classic example in the book is the idea that a simple fee or restriction may encourage people to find indirect ways around it, sometimes creating new problems that are worse than the original one. This perspective gives the book much of its practical force. It warns against assuming that a well-meant intervention will automatically produce a good result. The lesson applies across public policy, medicine, and everyday life. Instead of asking whether a proposal sounds fair or morally appealing, the book asks what second-order effects it may generate. That makes the analysis more skeptical, but also more realistic, because complex systems often react in ways planners do not expect. Thirdly, data can overturn confident but weak conventional wisdom. Another major theme is the author's insistence that evidence should outrank popular stories, received wisdom, and emotionally satisfying explanations. Super Freakonomics uses statistics and empirical reasoning to challenge claims that many readers may have assumed were settled. The point is not simply to be contrarian, but to show how easy it is for compelling narratives to outlive the facts. By returning to data, the book argues, one can often discover that a famous problem has been misdescribed or that the supposed solution is not supported by evidence. This approach gives the book an investigative quality. It tests claims rather than repeating them. It also encourages intellectual discipline, because the authors often prefer uncomfortable conclusions if the numbers support them. The broader implication is that public debate becomes more reliable when it rewards careful measurement over anecdote. In that sense, the book is as much about method as about subject matter. Fourthly, the book uses provocative case studies to test moral assumptions. Super Freakonomics is built around unusual topics that invite readers to reconsider assumptions about morality, risk, and social norms. Its chapters on prostitution, terrorism, organ donation, and health behavior are not random provocations. They are chosen because they expose how people respond to incentives in settings that are often discussed only in moral language. By examining these cases economically, the authors strip away some of the emotional framing and ask what actually explains the outcomes. This method can be uncomfortable because it often treats taboo subjects in a detached way, but that is part of the book's purpose. It suggests that difficult problems become clearer when they are analyzed without symbolic baggage. At the same time, the book raises questions about whether a purely economic lens can miss deeper social or ethical realities. That tension is part of its design. It challenges readers not only to rethink the subject, but also to notice how strongly moral expectations shape public reasoning. Lastly, its climate and technology discussions favor unusual high-risk ideas. One of the most controversial parts of Super Freakonomics is its discussion of climate change and geoengineering. Rather than focusing only on familiar policy tools such as emissions reduction, The book considers technological interventions that might cool the planet by reflecting sunlight or altering atmospheric conditions. The authors present such ideas as examples of creative problem solving, especially when standard approaches seem slow, politically difficult, or inadequate. This reflects a broader pattern in the book. When a problem is serious, the authors are willing to explore solutions that many people initially reject as strange or impractical. The value of this section lies in its willingness to widen the menu of options, even if those options are risky or controversial. At the same time, the book has drawn criticism for appearing too confident about speculative fixes and for underplaying the dangers of technological hubris. That makes this theme important because it shows both the strength and the limitation of the author's style. They are excellent at expanding debate, but not always equally cautious about the trade-offs involved. In conclusion, Superfreakonomics is best suited for readers who enjoy economics, social science, and policy debates, especially those who prefer arguments grounded in data rather than intuition. It will appeal to curious general readers, students of behavior, and anyone interested in how incentives shape outcomes in unexpected domains. The book can be especially useful for readers who want to sharpen their ability to question public claims, spot unintended consequences, and evaluate practical problems more analytically. Its main benefit is not that every conclusion is universally accepted, but that it trains readers to examine assumptions and look for evidence behind confident narratives. Compared with many popular economics books, it stands out for its willingness to address taboo or controversial subjects and to connect them to the same basic analytical framework. It is also notable for blending accessible prose with policy questions that are often treated as technical or ideological, even when readers disagree with some of its proposals. The book remains distinctive for pushing them to rethink how problems are framed and what kinds of solutions are considered possible. If you would like to support Stephen D. Levitt, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.